This is Gabriel McBird at the Jeffrey Museum, where we're supposed to be. It's a Christmas has passed. Don't know where everybody else is.
We are early.
We are a little bit early, I suppose. Yeah. I have been early a bit worryingly often lately, actually. I was early, I was half an hour early for the cookery course. Maybe you can hear there's a bit of Christmassy, sort of sounds like a church. I don't know what the music is in the background. It's some kind of... What is the music in the background?
It's carols.
Okay.
Have you been bored with them for the last couple of weeks, or?
Sorry, you can't ignore Christmas here. The Harrogate Choral Society.
Okay. It can't be as bad as having to put up with Christmas music in Sainsbury's or whatever for the last month.
No. We just play it when we've got sessions, and we've got one that's a nostalgic Christmas, so it's kind of 40s and 50s, and we've got this one, so.
Okay.
Kind of combine the two.
Okay.
So that we don't get too bored.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello again.
Welcome to the Jeffrey, or welcome back. Yes. And thank you very much for coming today for our Christmas food through the ages.
Yay!
It's a silent Jeffrey again. Basically, we're going to look at some of the kind of traditions that we still have today, but also some that have kind of died out as well. But you'll see that. There's kind of some themes that do continue today. So we're going to start with our room one, which is our living hall from 1630. And this one, although it's a 17th century room, because the actual the homes were more kind of medieval in feel,
lovely.
We're kind of looking at more sort of Tudor and Stuart, sort of early Stuart Christmas. So these Christmases were kind of based on pagan celebrations rather than Christian ones. And Christmas lasted 12 days, starting from Christmas Day. And it was a time for hospitality, charity, feasting, drinking, dancing, playing cards and having fun. Sounds good to me.
Sounds very Christmas.
Yeah. So the high points were actually New Year's Day and the 12th night, so not the 25th of December. And the room that we have actually shows a New Year's Day feast. So let me just give you an overview of the hall, and then I'll talk a bit more about the Christmas traditions that we have in the room. So this is the living hall, which was the main room for entertaining guests and also the centre of communal family activities used daily for dining and leisure. It has a very medieval feel, as I'd already said. All the walls are covered in a light wooden panelling, and there are several pieces of heavy dark oak furniture. The floor is covered with a large rush mat, and there's a fireplace on the far wall right of centre, and two windows with small diamond-shaped glass panes, one in the left-hand wall and one slightly smaller to the left of the fireplace. Characteristically for the time, both windows have a plain green curtain pulled to one side. The year is 1630 and London is prospering. Although the so-called middling sort, or middle classes, middling sort, it's quite a big word, represented a relatively small class of society at this time, they were nonetheless actively contributing to the growing vibrancy and prosperity of the city. And this room reconstructs the room in a house of a merchant or a lawyer. So one of the main features in this room is the fireplace in the far wall right of centre. It is set with protruding wooden panelling and has a plain marble surround. It is festooned with swags of sweet-smelling evergreens. Inside of the fireplace is laid out with red bricks, and there is an enormous Yule log set on two black iron supports ready to be kindled. In front of the fireplace stands an armchair. This great chair was generally reserved for the head of the household or for special guests. All the other members of the family sat on backless stools, and there are six of those in the room. They're all set around a large, beautifully carved oak table, which is the centrepiece of the room and is set for the sweetmeat course with the sumptuous treats, which are even gilded with gold. So merchant houses in the early 17th century London were very busy places. it wasn't just the family, so the mother, father and the children, but also the servants and the apprentices as well. So family businesses were run from home, and the hall was located on the first floor and working premises located at street level. Business associates, fellow merchants, friends, customers might therefore very well have been invited into the hall to discuss business or for light refreshments or dinner, or in this case, a nice feast. So, as I said, it's a New Year's Day feast, and this date was celebrated more than Christmas Day. And a typical first course, so although we don't show the first course in the room, it would have been very kind of meat-based. So the centrepiece would have been the boar's head, but you also would eat things like beef, goose or duck. And brawn as well. Does anyone know what brawn is?
Is it the inside of the head?
Yeah, so it's like the brains.
Not really nice.
Would I mean, on Christmas Day itself, would that have been kind of a day for thought and meditation then, rather than, because presumably then, you know, I mean, obviously it's 16th century, so it's well after Christianity existed.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So people would go on Christmas Day to church in the morning, and then they might have a kind of small gathering of friends and family, sort of in between going to church again in the evening. So they go to church twice on Christmas Day, but the present giving and all of those kind of things and the feasting all took place on New Year's Day or the 12th night on the 6th of January.
I had to go at midnight and then again at 8 in the morning.
Oh, midnight mass.
Yes.
So you're probably wondering where the turkey was. So turkey was eaten in England as early as 1530, but it was so expensive because it was brought over from North America. So it was only really the very rich, so people like Henry VIII that would eat.
It would have been Henry VIII. Well, he would have had swan, wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, actually, we'll talk about swan a bit later.
Oh, right.
Henry VIII probably had about five different sorts of meat.
Well, yeah, bird within a bird within a bird, probably. Yeah. And those roasts.
They all trotted off to Lidl's.
Yeah, you can get the five bird roast now.
I don't know, Iceland.
Is it Iceland?
You got yourself.
Today.
So the boar's head would be carried in a sort of ceremonial way by the head of a household. And usually it'd have an orange between its teeth. And this represented the sun, as it was as Christmas was very close to the winter solstice. But because we're in the UK, because we're in England, obviously oranges are very expensive because they had to import them in from Spain. So apples were more readily used, and because they were cheaper to get hold of.
Yes.
And this is believed to be the origins of why we serve applesauce with pork.
How would you keep an apple for? I mean, because presumably the apples would have been. And he said, been born, but that's not what I mean. That have been produced in sort of what, October?
Yeah, so.
How do you keep an apple for 2 months without it going?
Apples, yeah, if you keep them in a cold room, because I do that at home actually,
because
we've got an
apple tree.
Yeah, if you keep them in a cold space, then they will keep.
You don't let them touch each other, you keep a space between them.
Okay.
As long as they haven't dropped on the floor as well.
It's as though you have kept fruit in a cupboard, it never seems to last more than a week.
Yeah, I think it depends. If it's kind of fallen through the tree, it can get bruised, and that's when it starts to go bad.
Yeah, at school used to be kept forever before we ate them.
Okay.
So no wonder they didn't last.
Oh, I mean,
I've eaten apples
a couple of months old.
Okay, I had no idea they kept that long.
Wow. We also they're at their best when they're a bit fresh.
I don't know, because they muck them about.
You are recommended to refrigerate your apples nowadays. And that's how you keep those in suspension, I suppose. They do do that commercially.
When South Africa was first allowed to me, the apples were wonderful. The Granny Smiths. And a friend of mine said it's because they didn't know how to ruin them.
in this country, they can. So the boar's head had been sort of forming the centre of Christmas feasts or the winter solstice for a number of centuries. And this was and the reason why this particular animal was chosen was because it came from a Norse tradition. So there's actually two gods, the god Frey, which is where we get the word Friday from, and his twin sister Freya. And Frey's symbol was the boar. So sacrificing the boar at around the winter solstice was seen as bringing good luck. And also, because these animals were kind of in the woodland, they would eat lots of acorns and apples at this time of year. Oh, yes. And so they were kind of their biggest, their fattest. Yes. So they were kind of good.